Hey, Link here. Thanks for joining me for episode 79, where I speak of Janice Chu. In this episode, we speak about how she got into the industry and some words of wisdom learned from her experiences, the games that made her want to get into making games, her favorite games, and how she has enjoyed gaming with her family and friends. We also discuss her hobbies outside of gaming and leave off on a shocking cliffhanger that we might just revisit one day in the future. Before we get started, don't forget there are links in the episode description that you can follow to learn more about Janice as well as the podcast. Also, don't forget to like and share the episode, and without further ado, enjoy episode 79. Hi, welcome to the Red Tunic Podcast, a podcast where I look to rediscover what makes gaming fun and enjoyable by having positive conversations with those related to the industry. My name is Link, and today I'm joined by Janice Chu, Senior Concept Artist at Bungie. Now, before we get started, this is usually implicitly implied. However, at Janice's request, I want to explicitly remind everyone that the opinions, answers, and discussions shared in this episode belong to Janice and myself, and do not reflect the opinions of either Sony or Bungie. Now, with all that said, hi Janice, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
You know, and that's great to hear. So, Janice, before we get started, would you mind telling me and anyone listening just a little bit about yourself so we kind of, you know, have a baseline of who Janice is?
Yeah, sure. As you all know, I am Janice. I have been in the industry for probably about, 10 years. I've mostly been a UI artist, but also doing concept artists on the side, but now at Bungie I am a concept artist, so that's pretty cool. It's been fun to jump around in all disciplines. I've been all around all around the industry.
So Janice, you know, thank you for that, and also, you know, as I said, thank you for agreeing to come on the show as well. You know, I am curious, you know, a lot of people know what, or a lot of people have an idea of what UI is. And I imagine a lot of people have an idea of what concept artist is. However, for those that might be a little unsure or just not fully aware due to the kind of vague nature of it, would you mind maybe explaining or talking more to what a concept artist is or what they do, just so, you know, people know what that exactly means, you know?
Concept artist is kind of behind a lot of the art that you see in games, but before it gets thrown into like 3D pipeline, it's all like drawing that could be characters, environments, the whole look of the game, as sometimes they call it a key art. We are kind of like the idea people in terms of like drawing it all out or painting it all out, and it's all done digitally. We're kind of the creative problem solvers that assist, I suppose, game designers with what they want in the game. As for UI artists, all the icons and sometimes borders that you see in game, those are done by UI artists.
So, you know, thank you for giving a brief rundown of that. And, you know, as many people, you know, they, you know, I didn't mention this, so, you know, people that know who you are might or probably have a better idea of this. However, you know, as said on your own website, I don't know why I phrased it like that, but, you know, you went through initially for design at arguably one of the better schools in Ontario or Canada. I'm curious how the transition from design work to concept worked out for you, because, you know, the UI is easier to make sense of for anyone that knows anything about design, but the concept, I'm a little fuzzy on. So would you mind speaking to that, just so, well, more or less for my own curiosity, I guess?
Yeah. I feel like from UI art, you get a lot of interesting perspective for me, because you always have to think about the user or the player that's going to be interacting with the icons that you're drawing. So for me to make that transition to the concept, I feel like personally my concept art is maybe more focused towards the player so that they have like an immediate understanding of what objects they are interacting with. So I think when I transfer it into concept, I have this like nice bridge between art and a little bit of game design so that I can kind of speak to both disciplines. Not fully, obviously, in like game design terms, but like it definitely helps with clarity in what designers want to do. Yeah, I hope that helps answer your curiosity. It's just, it helps me a lot.
Well, yeah, and thank you. And that's, you know, that's good, a good way to put it. And there's something that you had mentioned, the you know, because a lot of people probably don't know, good design is unseen, right? It's a lot like a lot of the parts or components of, you know, like any kind of layout or project or what have you. It's a lot of things that if it's good, it's invisible. And by that, it means that, you know, it's just, it's there. And when it's bad, it sticks out like a sore thumb. So it makes sense when you say that, you know, the player focus or making things clear, because that is a very design centric focus view. So yeah, so that makes perfect sense. So thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. Best compliment is no compliment at all for UI.
You know, yes, like for anything I think design related, no news is good news, right?
Yes,
like
you don't exactly
you don't want to be the person that has someone speaking ill about it. Because like, well, that means someone noticed something bad, right? And no one says anything bad. Well, that's good. It means it's good.
Yes, yes. I'll take those wins.
Now, Janice, I am curious, if you don't mind speaking to like this, but how did you get into doing, you know, UI or concept art, however, like whichever bridge or arm you want to take with this one? And, you know, from the lessons you have learned, is there any words of wisdom that you might be able to share?
It's funny, when I started off as, I guess, a concept artist, I actually didn't know it existed until my third year of like school at Sheridan, which was primarily an animation heavy school. I know I enjoyed drawing props and I liked doing backgrounds when I was in school, but I had no idea concept art was an actual job or that you can literally work in video games. Like, it was so, I don't know, I was probably like living in this little bubble that I just, I don't even know how it first, like, into games. Because I knew it existed, I just didn't know it was a job that you can have. My mom had brought home an Uncharted 2 art book, and it was, like, mind-blowing to me, because I'm like, wait, this is the thing I want to do. This is a job! So I can actually work in games and do similar things to, like, to make myself happy, basically. So that is kind of how I fell into games. I was lucky in my third year, while we're having internships, that we had like basically 4 concept art openings, and I kind of busted my butt to get at least a portfolio. Whatever a concept art portfolio meant, I tried to do my best and era the internet of like, what is concept art? And kind of put together a portfolio based on what I saw. And yeah, I kind of got my foot in the door through my internship at Digital Extremes. They're currently responsible for Warframe, and that was what I did during my internship. It was the very start of Warframe, actually. And then I was fortunate enough to get hired by them after I graduated. And as for words of wisdom to share from experiences, I guess throughout my years in industry, the thing I look forward to the most when joining a new team is probably seeing what the culture is like on the team. I think that's like the most important takeaway that I had. Of course, projects will always look cool on your resume, but I think it's the people you work with that matter the most, because you do have to interact with them every day. And so you kind of want to have really good standings with the people around you, and you want to feel good about yourself every day when you go into work. So, yeah, culture for me and team is number one, my priority when I'm looking for a new job.
So thank you for sharing that. And I think that's fantastic advice. And I don't think a lot of people realize that when you are like interviewing for a job, it's a two-way street, right? So like you need to figure out if you yourself will be a good fit, because largely speaking, in my experience, at least, when you're interviewing for a place, if you have the skills, you're, you know, sitting in a pool of like 10 other people that also have those comparable skills that may or may not lead somewhere. Right.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, they're not going to be concerned with whether or not you're going to be able to do it, because you're past the first phase. You know, they already know you are going to be able to do something. And
yes.
At that point onward, they're wanting to make sure you're not going to be that crazy person that's talking about like fish all the time or something else that's going to make everyone just go, get this crazy person away from me, please and thank you, right?
Yes, so, exactly.
That also goes two ways, right? Like you don't want to go into a place where everyone's that crazy person talking about fish all the time, and you're just like, I don't like fish. Please stop. But it's the whole office, right? Like you don't need that.
Yeah, you also want to make sure you're not kind of stuck being the minority of the group, or like, I guess in an instance that I had was like the only lady in a group, and it was like I didn't know what that was gonna be like, and that was a learning experience for me. So it's like all those like kind of diversity stuff for me to pay attention to, because it's pretty important. Once you're actually in it, it makes a big difference.
Yeah, and you know, that's also something that I wouldn't have considered. So thank you as well for that, because that is, you know, something else to keep in mind, that there is a lot of different facets to what makes it a good fit, and only you can determine that, but you should very much have an idea of what those things would be, right?
Yeah, yes.
So, Janice, I do want to ask this one, and, you know, I don't know how this one's going to work, just because you mentioned your mom coming home with a Uncharted art book. So yeah. I don't know if the answer is just going to be this or something else, but, you know, was there a game or games that made you say, oh, this would be cool to do? And, you know, if that awakening moment for you that was the Uncharted art book, perfect sense as well. So, you know, by all means, if this is a really short answer, it's fine being a really short answer, I guess.
Okay. Yes to Uncharted 2, but I guess if we're going back in time to like kid Janice, probably Warcraft 2, specifically the map editor. I had so much fun making random maps for my cousin to play. I tried my hardest to put whatever AI, I guess bots, computer NPCs, just to make sure it all like converged into his like spawn point. And every time I lost. But of course, this is like kid me fantasizing, like, oh, he's just gonna get destroyed in every single angle. But then he defeated everyone. So I'm like, well, you know, I tried. But to me, that was very fun. I just had no idea like the company was behind making this at the time, because my little childhood brain was like, cool games. But yeah, that was basically, that would probably be my jumping off point.
So, you know, you kind of mentioned something like this twice, once when you were a little older and once when you were a child, but the idea or the what have you, that video games didn't have people making them. And I just want to touch on that. That is a, that's a very common thing. And I personally don't know if I ever had that moment or what have you, but I always find it amusing that so many people just one day had the realization of, oh wait, this is a thing people are paid for. This is a job, right?
Yeah.
Because the alternative would be just video games are created into the ether, just done. Like they just exist somehow. Like I'm trying to think of a really proper safe like Rain. It just happens, right?
Yes. You know, magic. It's there. One snap. All of a sudden you have a video game, yeah.
But, you know, as you and, you know, I think many people have learned since, there's a lot of work that often goes into making a video game.
Yes.
So, as a weird, kind of side question, at any point do you think you would go back to child you or what have you and be like, look, you should maybe consider something a little less intensive? or would you go to a childhood you and be like, hey, just so you know, ahead of the gate, this is a thing people are paid to do. Good luck, have fun.
Oh, I would number two. I played so many games as a kid that I would not scare my childhood self away and be like, you know what, you like art, just go that direction. Don't even go to computer science. Just ignore that part. Put that math out of your brain and just go for the art. That is what I would tell childhood me.
You know, I can't fault that idea of wanting to get ahead of that curve. You know, as someone that, you know, did not know certain things existed when going to school, and would have made choices based around those things existing. Yeah, I would very much do the same thing, you know, be like, hey, this is a thing that exists. This is what you want to look at. Ignore that. Ignore the thing that's going to hurt your brain. Just yes. Do this instead. It'll be more fun for you.
Yeah, heck yeah.
So, you know, just speaking on the topic of, you know, playing a bunch of games as a kid or what have you, did you have a favorite game as a child and, you know, or favorite games, plural? And, you know, if so, what game or games were they?
Oh, that's a very hard question. I have, so many favorite games as a kid. I'll list them off, and then we can talk about them if you want to, because there's just too many. I grew up in a Nintendo household, so I was playing, Super Smash Bros., probably a ton of Perfect Dark. I probably shouldn't have at my age, but you know, it was there. I played it. I played Wolfenstein. Also too young to play, but that's fine. Warcraft 2, as I mentioned. SimCity 2000 was a pretty big one for me as well. Gosh, what else? Your other games like Super Mario 64. A lot of Nintendo 64 games. Yeah.
So, you know, thank you for that. And this leads to another question. And this is one that, you know, comes up from time to time in my head. And it's one that I've explored in my own head for my own personal self. And, you know, you mentioned the playing of Perfect Dark or Wolfenstein and I'm going to presume a handful of other games that probably fall into that grouping of someone probably should not have let me do this. However, in my case, my father is the one that installed Doom and was like, this is how you run Doom and DOS. Good luck, have fun, you know, whatever. Yeah. They're zombies, I don't care.
Yes.
You know, just tell your mother to stop, whatever, right? Yeah. I'm wondering, in your scenario, did you have someone that basically did the same thing, or did you have to fly under the radar as you played all these games that probably you should not have been playing?
I think I was pretty lucky. My mom was a what was it, a computer engineer drawing, like when I was a kid, that was her job. So she would have like Titan Magic laying around, and that was installed onto the PC. She already had like SimCity installed, and it was like my cousins, we all like hung out at like my grandma's house, and then we just had like a PC there. So they would have all the like Super Nintendo games and whatever PC games they got, they installed there. And so there was not really any like, you shouldn't play this game. It was, I don't know if she was even aware, I guess. So that's why I'm like, cool, I get to play all these games. I have no idea the meanings of any of these, but if I just get to click one button, I'm happy.
So, you know, I like hearing that just for a few different reasons. You know, one being the idea that, you know, it was a whole kind of like family affair that everyone was trading in illicit games. I shouldn't say it that way. That sounds way worse. Trading in violent or whatever games that maybe had to fly under the radar, or just that, you know, all the adults were like, yeah, whatever. I played Might and Magic. Might and Magic's a safe game. And that's just in their head that, you know, like all games are Might and Magic or all games are SimCity. Meanwhile, you guys are like huddled up in the corner or what have you, blowing enemies to bits with yeah. a rocket launcher or something, right?
Yes, and yeah.
It's like, oh, what are they all doing? Oh, they're just playing the SimCity. It's all good. Ignoring the, you know, ignoring the
gore.
Yeah, ignoring the gore sounds and everything. So I, you know, I love the idea of that because I think a lot of people growing up have a similar kind of story or what have you. Like for me, it was going and, you know, two friends, we went to a friend's house and his older brother puts on Duke Nukem and he's like, well, here's Duke Nukem, this is things you can see and do, right? And yeah. You know, at the time I was like 7, 8 maybe, yes. So like it's similar thing where like, you know, it's the computers in the basement, parents have no idea that, you know, the it's like the early 90s, no one knows, right? It's just yes. a thing. So I just like, I think I like hearing about other people's versions of those stories because they're everywhere. Now, on the topic of, as I said, like the family affair, I am curious, though, was there a game that you and your cousins really enjoyed all playing together? Because you mentioned it was like a Nintendo household. Mm-hmm. I'm going to presume, based on that, that there was probably a Nintendo 64 involved with you and your, yes. your family, yeah. Which means 4 players, which means a lot of games, or, you know, just the constant hatred of Mario Party. But
don't even get me started on Mario Party. That's a whole thing.
A whole bloody-handed thing, right?
Oh, absolutely. I had a nickname. Blisters.
You know, and I'll say this, for those that don't know, Mario Party 1, Nintendo had the genius idea to have a game where you had to spin the joystick real quickly. Immediately, everyone learned if you just slam your palm on that joystick and rattle it around real fast, real quick, you can actually beat those mini games. Otherwise, you couldn't. That just ripped your palms wide open. Just,
yes.
It was a bloody, gory mess for everyone involved. It was so bad, not only did Nintendo not bring those games back moving forward, but if you sent in a proof of receipt or purchase, they would send you, and I regret never getting one, but they would send you a hand glove or a half, like a fingerless gloves kind of thing that had a little plastic chunk that slotted onto the joystick so you could do it safely. But
that.
Yeah, it was like I said, I very much regret never doing it because I'd stopped playing Mario Party 1 at the time. You know, my friends got 2 and 3 and we moved on to that. Yeah. But yeah, it was hilariously wild. The Nintendo was like, well, we screwed up. Here's a thing. Anyway, so not counting Mario Party, was there games that you and your cousins or family or what have you really loved playing together? And, you know, what games were they, if you don't mind sharing?
For the PC, Warcraft 2. There's also NBA Jam. Yes, 98, I think. I could be wrong, but I know it was an NBA Jam for sure. That was one. For Super Nintendo, it was probably Mario Kart and Donkey Kong. And if we go further ahead to the 64 era, what did I play a lot? We got into, like, GoldenEye and Perfect Dark a ton. Like, once they put in all the Sims in Perfect Dark, that is all we ever played. Sometimes WrestleMania, because it was also, like, a WWE household, so we played that a lot. It was a mix-up between all those games. We would rotate through all of that, and then, of course, Super Smash Bros.
So, you know, speaking of the wrestling games of, like, the Nintendo 64 era, you know, I played a bunch of them too, would rent them. And it's wild to me how much simpler and more straightforward they are than current wrestling games and how they weirdly hold up. Just because, like, you know, it was, you know, had a punch and a kick and then that was kind of it, right? Like, yes. One of the C buttons did pinning. One of the C buttons would pull, like, a weapon from the crowd or what have you. And then just, that was it. You know, none of this convoluted combos, just do it, right? Yeah. Now, I am curious about this, just because you mentioned GoldenEye, you mentioned Perfect Dark. As I'm sure everyone had, did you guys have a core set of, like, rules or options or I forget the name of them, but, like, the just options, screw it, that you guys played with, like, you know, rockets only, no odd job, what, blah 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 blah. I'm wondering if you guys had anything like that you can remember.
Yes. We all started off with, like, the easiest sim, because, you know, for me to get up to beat with my cousins who are probably, like, 5 years older than I was. So that was it. And then we started adding on difficulties of, like, to the point where it was, like, perfect sim. And it was just chaos. And then we always had specific guns we would throw in, like, our favorite guns. But that was basically it. And then sometimes we'll throw in, like, a random sim that had, I don't even remember the types of sim they had. There's, like, a slapping sim or something. Just, like, an odd one that would just throw everything off, but everything else became, like, perfect or dark sim. And we'd just go through the same levels, just trying to beat them, basically. Because there was no multiplayer, it was just both my cousin and I putting, like, 8 sims, I think that was the max that you could have. Oh, it's great. Such good times. But that was all the rules, sorry.
But no, thank you for sharing that. And, you know, that's fun to hear. Like, you know, I always liked the slappers, just because it was a weirdly, like, if you didn't have, like, instant kill, it was always super insulting to get a kill with a slap. Like, yes. Just because, like,
yeah,
there's no greater insult than getting that final hit.
Yes, like, how could you die by just a slap? Dishonor.
Yeah, exactly. So, Janice, you know, kind of maybe staying in the same vein, I don't know how much overlap there will be, because, you know, there's been a lot of years between, I'm presuming there's been a lot of years between, like, playing the N64 with family and such, only because the N64 is, like, 25 years old now. Sorry,
Wow,
I was just realizing this reality. I'm gonna really just presume at this point the things that the question is not going to be applicable have with the same kind of overlap. But anyway, what is it now that you enjoy about gaming? Like, you know, how do you enjoy gaming now, and what is it about gaming that makes you, you know, have fun with it?
I think I tend to enjoy multiplayer games still, just because just to link it back to childhood, I always had a fun time playing with my cousins. And for all the games throughout the generations, or at least me growing up, was always looking for a multiplayer game. So I guess now I'm just looking for a fun, maybe FPS game that everyone is playing, and so that we can all hop on after work and just, you know, play around for a few hours. I kind of lean away from single player campaigns now just because it feels so lonely. Unless it's an indie game, I will probably stay away from them. That's kind of it. Unless it's a From Software. That is my only caveat. From Software single player game, I am there.
So, you know, thank you for sharing. And I'm curious then, because I'm more of a single player kind of guy. I've just like when I was growing up, I played a lot of like Ragnarok Online. But outside of that, MMOs or multiplayer games just really didn't click with me outside of like a co-op game, right? Those are always easy to sell on. But I'm curious, you know, what are the multiplayer games that you're enjoying right now? Like, you know, as someone who isn't really aware of a lot of the multiplayer aspect, I'm not, you know, I'm an idiot for this. So like, kind of, you know, if you don't mind, what are you enjoying multiplayer wise so that I can maybe be less of an idiot for the multiplayer world, if that makes any sense?
Nah, it's nothing to do with being an idiot. It's, you know, play what you like. let's see. So I personally like first-person shooters, so I'm going to refer to them as FPSs. At one point, I was very into Overwatch, and then I moved into Rainbow Six Siege, which is a very stressful multiplayer game to play with friends, because if you screw up, you are dead for the round. But I mean, the rounds are like 3 minutes, so it's not too bad. And then currently I'm playing Fortnite with a bunch of my friends, and that's just been a blast.
So, you know, thank you for that. And, you know, I've never actually played Fortnite. The only thing I truly know about Fortnite is the crazy partnership deals and skins, crossovers, however you want to phrase it, that they weirdly seem to keep pulling off. Like, it's from an outsider, it's bananas to me that, you know, you look at it, you're like, well, here's some Dragon Ball, here's some Marvel, here's some Disney, here's some Ninja Turtles, here's Spider-Man. Like it's so weird to me that all these games and stuff, you're like, oh yeah, we're gonna do the multiverse, and the whole time Fortnite's just doing a multiverse, right?
Yeah.
So like, I know that Fortnite has a lot of different ways to play it, I think. Is there, you know, and I like, they recently announced a go-kart version and like the Lego version. So, you know, I don't really know where I'm going with this question.
Okay.
Here,
we'll find
I'll
it.
Focus this. I'll focus it real quick. With all that, like with all the stuff that they're doing, I can imagine that for someone like you that is playing it and enjoying it with your friends, that just makes it even more enjoyable because you have all these different aspects or different things that you can actually do to keep it from being stale or one-noted or what have you. This is just a simple yes or no. So, you know, I'm just going to say, I imagine that's the case? Question mark.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Like, surprisingly, I think when they decided to release it on, like, the span of 2 days, we all just sat. I've never sat, like, playing a game for, like, 6 hours straight. It's been a long time since I've done that. But on the Saturday when they released, like, Lego and the racing game, I just sat there like, you know what? Let's just switch into Battle Royale mode. Let's just switch into, like, the Lego sandbox thing that they have. Or you know what? Because racing is so short, why not just do a few races? It like blew my mind that it was all on just like one platform. Like it was crazy. And they're all solid games. That's the thing. So, yes, I do play all of them and they are all great.
So, thank you. I'm happy that question kind of made sense. Sorry, the lack of question made sense. I don't know, but no, I'm happy to hear that like you were able to sit for 6 hours and enjoy the array of things, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, I think that kind of leads to a good leeway to the next question or the next point. And you know, I'm going to presume based on the comment that you know, you play like first-person shooters, multiplayer ones, and you know, Fortnite, and like these, you know, like you said, short little game for racing and just what have you. That you are probably like a lot of other people at this point in your life, with you know, balancing being an adult, right, and actually doing mm-hmm. the things you enjoy. That you know, you can't always be sitting and playing games, even though you probably want to, right? So
yes,
I guess the way to ask this one is, you know, like when you're not playing games, when you're not working, maybe between adulting and other adulting things or what have you,
uh-huh.
Outside of games, like what is it that you do to relax and enjoy yourself that, you know, you can do? And, you know, if the brief moments of playing games with your friends is one of them, that's always perfectly valid. However, you know, people are not always what they do for a living, or you know, they're not always one note where all they ever do is play games or what have you. So I would feel remiss if I didn't ask who Janice was outside of gaming, you know?
Yes. No, I become a pixelated character after work. I do quite a bit of things outside of work. Like if I have a lot of PTO, like paid time off, I will be traveling. Like last year, I went to Hawaii, Iceland, and Vietnam, and I'm trying to travel as much as I can. And while I'm out, I'm doing like photography. So there's like that aspect of my life if I have like the time and money to do so. And then if I just have to stay at home, I got into model kit building lately of like gun claws, and that's been taking up a lot of my time. It's not editing photos that I've taken on previous trips. I draw a lot outside of work if I have an idea. Yeah, just a whole assortment of stuff just to keep life interesting. Oh, I also climb and work out, so a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I thank you for sharing that. But you know, yes, it sounds like you do more than just games, which is I don't want to say good, because that sounds really speaking down to people that only play games, right?
I touched the grass.
You know, that's good. Yes. Sorry, I just realized as I was about to say, I'm like, this could be insulting to people that don't do anything else. There has to be a better way to phrase these things. But either way, thank you. I'm glad that you have found other hobbies that you enjoy. There is the positive way to twist that.
Yeah.
Anyway,
thank you.
Now, on the topic of travel, I believe I saw on your Twitter or X feed, I don't know anymore. Either way, I believe I saw you talking about maybe going to Japan, and I saw that, and I want to mention this, and this comes from a friend's personal experience that I think is very important to share, that a lot of people don't know. Avoid Golden Week if you ever go to Japan. Not because it's bad, but Golden Week, everyone's off for a week and you're just going to be slammed with everyone else trying to do the same thing you are.
Wow. I don't think I've heard of Golden Week. I have to research that. I haven't researched my trip fully because it's a debate between Japan and Norway. Or both. Who knows? But that's good to keep in mind. Thank you.
You're very welcome on that one. That sounds way too on a high horse. Anyway, I'm happy to share that because my friend learned because Golden Week is like this time that everyone has off. It's like in the spring before the summer or something like that. And everyone just has the time off. So if you're in like a big area, everyone's trying to do the same things you are. My friend accidentally got in line to a into like just a record store because he just queued up. He didn't know what he was doing, and he got to the front and went, "Oh, okay, good. This is where I wanted to be." But like, it was like a 90-minute line before the store even opened.
Oh, cow. Wow.
Yeah,
All right.
he was in Tokyo. He was in like Electric Town and all that. So like that's something to also keep in mind that if you're going to a very popular place or what have you. But yeah, I would feel bad if I did not mention that only because like I said, I saw you tweet about maybe doing it.
Yes.
And that's a scary thing to not realize that you could accidentally go in the wrong time.
That's
Anyway.
real bad. But yes, thank you. Thank you.
Like,
Honestly, that would be
yeah.
real shame if that happened.
Yeah, like he didn't have a bad time. It was just a lot of waiting. It was kind of like Disney without the fun rides.
Yes. Oh, but there are board games that you can play in lines.
Exactly.
Yes.
And Janice, I'm gonna ask about this only because this is something I also enjoy, and it would be it's an easy thing for me to ask about and actually have an easy understanding about. So you've mentioned getting into Gunpla. Is there a kit or a suit that you have enjoyed a lot since getting into it that if someone were to start, wanted to also get into Gunpla, it's very expensive. People just avoid it. You're going to hate yourself. I shouldn't actually say it that way. That sounds way too, it's a lot of fun. You'll just get into a very deep hole very quick. There we go.
Absolutely.
But is there a suit, a kit, what have you, that you have enjoyed so far that if someone was like, I would like to maybe try it, to pick up a kit and what have you, is there one you'd recommend?
Yes. I actually just finished it probably 2 weeks ago. It's from the Witch from Mercury series. It's Chu Chu's Demi Trainer. I had a lot of fun. It's pretty simple in my opinion, but it does the job. I think it's a good intro to Gundam and looks cool too. So, yeah.
So, thank you for that recommendation. I think that's also a very, and I don't want to say safe because that sounds weird. But it's like it's a good recommendation because like you said, it's I haven't built it, but I'm aware of it. And a lot of the Witch from Mercury kits are also very nice and straightforward and kind of beginner friendly. So I think
Yes.
that's a great recommendation because, there are some older kits, some more complicated kits that if you start with them, you are not going to enjoy the hobby. It's going to turn you off from it. So like I think any Witch from Mercury kit, but is a great starting point. But thank you for that recommendation. I'm happy to hear that you enjoyed getting to make it. And like if anyone else is interested, there's a good starter kit to check out. It's also a great starting point if you don't have a big budget, because it's if I'm not mistaken, currency conversions aside, it's like a 20-ish dollar kit for in Canadian, so like even less American, so it's a very safe one to start with, and if you don't like it, you're not out like 30, 40, $50 like some of the kits cost.
Yes. But you will, once you get into it, you will buy 10 kits immediately like I did and be in debt
Janice.
that way.
Janice, that's supposed to be a surprise for
Oh,
everybody.
sorry. You can edit that part out. You'll stick with the
Oh,
one kit and finish it and be happy, and you'll be happy for the rest of your life.
Janice is right. You are not going to enjoy it. You're not going to create a massive backlog that you then go, "Well, I need a shed from Costco now." That none of that is going to happen. I promise you, and I also promise my fingers are not crossed at this very moment. Everything is factual that I just any Sorry.
Absolutely. Can confirm.
But no, I am glad that you have started, you know, you got into Gunpla and you're enjoying it. You know, it's model buildings, you know, as I can speak to this personally, is always a lot of fun. And you get to build some interesting kits. And, you know, there's always interesting companies making interesting kits. So like Janice said, Choo Choo Demi Trainer, perfect kit to start on if you are curious. It's affordable. And yeah, you'll probably have fun. And then, you know, find yourself in a hole buying more and more and more because you have so much fun with it, or what have you, right?
Yep. I enjoy sanding down the nibs so much. It's so therapeutic to just, like, I don't know, sit there for hours and sand down something.
So that is a first I've heard for that one, but I'm glad that you enjoy it, you know?
Yes.
A lot of people I speak to, they hate doing all the stuff. They just want to get straight to the painting. But I am happy that that is something that you find therapeutic and enjoyable because, you know, it also goes to show just that there's a lot of different things about any hobby that different people will enjoy, and finding something that you enjoy about it is the important part, right? So I'm happy to hear that. And also, you know, some kits have a lot of nubs, and, you know, depending on the kit, you could be in a meditative, therapeutic state for hours and hours, yes, and hours, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you just put on like a podcast on the side, it's great. You just like, yeah, okay. I agree, if there's too many nubs, it gets too much. But that's when you just like take a break. But I think in my brain, I try to one up my previous Gundam of like, how smooth can I actually get this nub as if it was non-existent in the first place?
You know, that, yes, that is a challenge or a thing that a lot of people put themselves through. So, yeah, I'm, like I said, I'm happy that that is something you can enjoy. Now, at the same time, though, Janice, I don't want to keep you too much longer. You know, I've enjoyed getting to talk with you. I hope you've enjoyed getting to speak with me as well. But I don't want to take up too much more of your time. It's a Monday evening. I want to let you get back to doing whatever it is you need to do leading up to the holidays, right? Like, I don't want to steal more of your time is what I'm really trying to say. So if there was anything else you want to discuss, a cool game, what you're doing, something you feel more people should just be more aware of, by all means, the floor is yours. As well, please let everyone know where they can find more information about you, which I'll also be including in the episode description.
Okay, let's see. What should we talk about? Games, my favorite game. You should all play Bloodborne. Embrace the pain, but enjoy the world of Bloodborne. That would be my only ask.
So, you know, definitely I think more people should probably play. I suck at it, so I haven't made it too far. It's on my list of things to get to. Maybe one day if it ever comes out on PC. Actually, I shouldn't say that. I have consoles. I can just sit down and play it. I should just devote some time to not suck.
Hard. But it's no easy game, but it's rewarding. I guess in quotations, rewarding if you like pain.
Yes, and you know, I think I can understand. I have played and beat the original Dark Souls, Demon Souls.
Nice.
And that was a rewarding kind of experience. So, you know, I agree completely that Souls likes have that nice level of rewarding nature to it, that nice dopamine hit when you are able to finally do the thing and not die every time.
Yeah, I mean, go for it.
No, by all means, please.
Okay, if you want a chiller game that's still in the like Bloodborne-y, feelsy, but you need it to be a little easier, I would highly recommend Death's Door. It's so good. It's an indie game, I think, made by Nerve. It's so good. Everything is good about that game. I love it.
So thank you for the two recommendations there. So anyone that's listening, check those out. I've looked at both of them. You know, I haven't tried Death's Door. It's on my list, but yeah, it looks like a nice indie game. And in my case, probably something more manageable for my skill level or immediate able to pick up skill level, I should say, maybe.
It's fun, yeah.
But you know, Jazz, as I said, with all of that as well, please, where can people find more information about you if they want to, you know, learn more about who you are?
I guess I have a Twitter account, at JaniceChu_89. Or if you want to follow more of my art, I have an Instagram, at JChuSketch.
Awesome. So thank you very much for that. I'll make sure that those are in the episode description so people can, you know, follow you on Twitter, follow you on Instagram, and see more about who you are or what you do.
Thank you.
Now, you're more than welcome. Now, as I said as well, I don't want to take up too much more of your time. So if there wasn't anything else you wanted to throw out there, I will let you get on with your day.
I can throw in some conflict if you want. The popular game that just didn't click with me was Breath of the Wild. And then I should just end the podcast there.
Janice, we do not have time to dive into that. No, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I would be at a standoff point with you. We just do not have time to dunk on this.
That is totally okay. It could be a nice cliffhanger. If you ever want me back, I will happily delve into
I will make a note, Janice, that I will reach out to you again in the future, and we can dunk on Breath of the Wild and
it.
or Tears of the Kingdom or what have you. I'll make a note of that. We'll come back. We'll circle back. That'll be a good ending for this.
Nice. Okay. Sounds
So,
good.
outside of that, then, Janice, outside of dunking on Breath of the Wild, outside of recommending Bloodborne and Death's Door, is there anything else you would like to throw out there before I let you get on your Monday evening? Or afternoon,
No.
sorry.
Oh, I'm good. I think these are all great questions. Thank you.
You are very welcome. So with that in mind then, Janice, I will let you go. I made a note. We'll circle back around one day to dunk on Breath of the Wild, perhaps.
Yeah.
But outside of that, thank you so much, Janice, for making time to have this conversation with me. And thank you for joining us on the Red Tunic podcast, as well as a special thanks to Ron Jenkins for the use of the music from the title track from Roads Deep. And be sure to check out the episode description for links to socials, websites, and other means that allow you to learn more about or support Janice and the podcast. While you're doing that, share, like, follow, and whatever else you think makes the algorithm work. Thanks, until next time.